You're telling me your suspicions have been confirmed.
We won't be getting anything more out of his head, if that's what you mean, sir.
You understand what you're saying here? You understand how vital the contents of his brain are to the future of this company and this country?
That's why I'm telling you personally, sir.
But that same brain holds the seeds of our potential undoing, doesn't it?
It could, yes.
Clearly an unacceptable risk. You understand?
I do, sir.
Inform me when it's done, then.
I will.
And Clayton?
Sir?
Erase his entire presence, as if he never existed.
Who, sir?
Exactly.
East San Antonio, the present. Court Wesley answered the throwaway cell phone he had bought in Walgreens.
Bad news, amigo. There's a price on your head.
Juarez boys or Mexican mafia?
Take your pick. People are busting in to punch your ticket. Word is gun stores from here to El Paso are selling out of bullets.
Guess I got my work cut out for me.
Court Wesley's response to learning a bounty had been put out on him was to park Asuna's old Ford in the middle of East San Antonio's gang haven and look for a bar. He found a bar on the east side in Windsor Oaks, home to endless rows of dilapidated townhouses where the gangs ran smack and recruited new bangers out of the hopelessness. The bar was furnished with a jukebox and a half dozen customers who kept their eyes tipped downward over their warming brews or empty shot glasses. The scent of stale beer rose from the rotting floorboards. Court Wesley fed 8 quarters into the pool table slot and slammed it back in. He racked the balls, chose a cue, and began to play. The door to the bar opened and 5 bangers came in at once, fanning out through the smoke wafting in the air. Weapons not out yet, sneering and grinning and letting him know their purpose. Probably waiting for him to go for his gun, make the first move. Court Wesley reached down into the ball return and his hand came out with the Smith & Wesson 9mm. He hit the first 2 bangers in his sights with relative ease, then dove to the floor and rolled to avoid the wild spray of bullets fired by the others. He lowered his aim, felling another with shots to the leg and gut, while a 4th man ran for the door, and the 5th dove behind the bar. Court Wesley knew the 4th had made it out when a narrow plume of sunlight poured into the room and turned his attention to the 5th. He approached the bar with gun leading the way, ready in case the final banger popped up firing with the pistols he had glimpsed in both the kid's hands. Court Wesley sighted on the mirror, which gave him the opening he needed to lunge over the bar and aim his Smith at a terrified kid who'd already shed his pistols, gazing up at Court Wesley in terror, pleading with his eyes.
You tell your friends what happened, you hear?
Uh-huh.
You tell them there's a lot more where that came from if they want to come looking for me.
Court Wesley backed away from the bar, eyes cheating for the door in case the final banger was lying in wait for him. Court Wesley continued on, stepping over the first 2 he'd shot. He slid through the door sideways, gun raised in case one of those perched at the bar had been a scout. But their eyes remained uniformly fixed away from him. He stepped into the hot sun, the final banger nowhere to be seen and long gone by now. Court Wesley snatched his phone to his ear and recognized one of Pablo Asuna's numbers from the caller ID.
Yeah?
Busy?
Not anymore.
That's good, amigo, because I found your Texas Ranger for you.
Survivor Center, the present. Clayton sat in the second seat of the expedition, checking off the names on the list before him. 7 patients inside, in addition to Peter Goodwin. A night janitor and a charge nurse. No other center personnel would be present this late, the building buttoned up for the night. A 6-man team accompanying him might have seemed like overkill, but Clayton preferred it for the precision and speed it allowed. In and out in under 5 minutes. Nobody left alive inside when they were done. Just a simple night's work. Caitlin sat by her husband's bedside. Peter's sleep cycles were a random mess when he slept at all. His torturers had clearly used sleep deprivation, among just about every other terrible technique, and the result was to throw his body clock permanently off kilter. Peter existed. He didn't live. And the treatment aimed at bringing him back into the world was about changing that by restoring first his understanding and then his quality of life. But Caitlin hadn't returned to the center at midnight to continue that process. She'd come back late because the cloud of shock had cleared enough to make her think like a Texas Ranger again. Disable the camera in his room and no one would ever know what she raised with Peter tonight. She could work unencumbered by fear that Rita Navarro or someone else might eavesdrop on their session and question why her words sounded more like interrogation than treatment. She'd reviewed all the documents that had accompanied Peter to the center a dozen times now. He'd been found in Bahrain, where Caitlin assumed the torture that had so damaged his mind and body had occurred. Court Wesley passed the Survivor Center for the sixth time on foot. The tail Pablo Asuna had put on Caitlin Strong had followed her here, called Pablo to report once she'd entered the building. Court Wesley was about to head inside the building when the doors to a black expedition opened, forcing him to continue on down the street.
It's time.